Hare Krishna. So today we are reading from Canto 11, Chapter 21, Text 32.
Raja Sattva Tamo Nishtha. Raja Sattva Tamo Nishtha. Raja Sattva Tamo Jushaha. Raja Sattva Tamo Jushaha. Upasata Indra Mukhyan. Upasata Indra Mukhyan. Devadinna Yathaiva Mam. Devadinna Yathaiva Mam. Raja Sattva Tamo Nishtha. Raja Sattva Tamo Jushaha. Upasata Indra Mukhyan. Devadinna Yathaiva Mam. Raja Sattva Tamo Nishtha. Raja Sattva Tamo Jushaha. Upasata Indra Mukhyan. Devadinna Yathaiva Mam.
Raja, in the mode of passion. Sattva, goodness. Tama, or ignorance. Nishtha, established. Raja, passion. Sattva, goodness. Tama, or ignorance. Jushaha, who manifest. Upasate, they worship. Indra Mukhyan, headed by Lord Indra. Devadin, the demigods and other deities. Na, but not. Yatha eva, in the proper way. Ma, me, mam. Sorry, mam. Me. Translation. Those established in the material passion, goodness and ignorance, worship the particular demigods and other deities headed by Indra, who manifest the same modes of passion, goodness or ignorance. They fail, however, to properly worship me. Purport. Although the demigods are part and parcel of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, demigod worship fosters the false idea that the demigods exist apart from the Supreme Lord. Such worship is avidhi purvakam, or an improper approach to the absolute truth. Srila Madhavacharya quotes from the Hari Vamsa that among those primarily in the mode of ignorance, there are sometimes manifestations of passion and goodness. Ignorant persons possessing a tendency towards goodness may go to hell, but are also allowed a little heavenly pleasure. Thus, it can be seen that a man suffering in miserable financial or political conditions sometimes enjoys the company of a beautiful wife, though his general condition is hellish. Those in ignorance mixed slightly with passion simply go to hell, and those purely in the mode of goodness, ignorance, glide down to the darkest region of hell. Those devoid of devotion to the Supreme Lord are in ignorance in these three categories. Sometimes persons situated in the mode of goodness accept the supremacy of the Supreme Lord, but are more attracted to the demigods, believing that through Vedic rituals they can achieve the same standard of living as the demigods. This proud tendency is certainly an obstacle in the loving service of the Supreme Lord, and ultimately causes fall down. You'll read the next verse also, because that also talks about demigod worship. Text 33-34. Translation. The worshippers of demigods think, we shall worship the demigods in this life, and by our sacrifices we shall go to heaven and enjoy there. When that enjoyment is finished, we shall return to this world and take birth as great householders in aristocratic families. Being excessively proud and greedy, such persons are bewildered by the flowery words of the Vedas. They are not attracted to topics about me, the Supreme Lord. Purport. Real pleasure is found in the transcendental form of the Lord, who is the supreme Cupid, engaging in pastimes of love in the spiritual world. Neglecting the eternal bliss of the Lord's pastimes, the foolish worshippers of the demigods dream of becoming like the Lord, but they achieve exactly the opposite result. In other words, they continue perpetually in the cycle of birth and death.
Om Ajnanatimirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Mukam karoti vachalam pangulangayate girim yat kripatamaham vande shri garudinatarinam vanchakalpatarubhyascha kripasindubhyayevacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha jai shri krishna chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda, Shri Advaita Gadadhara, Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
So we are seeing in this canto, in this chapter, that the samvad between Lord Krishna and Uddhava is still continuing. And this chapter is called Explanation of the Vedic Path. And Krishna is explaining to Uddhava various tenets of the Vedas and what all appears in the Vedas. As part of that, in this verse and the next verse, we see that Lord Krishna is telling Uddhava about demigod worship and the way the demigod worship is presented in the Vedas. So Krishna is mentioning that those established in the material modes of passion and ignorance actually worship the demigods. And the demigods are also in those material modes. So we see that as usual, the Srimad Bhagavatam is using extremely heavy words or hard words against demigod worship. And we see that the demigods are being condemned actually in the Srimad Bhagavatam. And not only this canto, but throughout the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam, and even in Bhagavad Gita, we find that demigod worship is being condemned. And we see Srila Prabhupada uses quite strong words in his purports. Whenever he writes his purports to any verse which is explaining demigod worship, he uses quite strong words. And he really bashes up the people who are worshipping the demigods as well as the demigods. So we see that for an average Indian who first time, for example in India, who first time enters an ISKCON temple, and let's say he's sitting for such a Bhagavatam class, then for him it becomes a very big obstacle, and he's really, his first observation is that why are these people bashing up the demigods always? And he asks also that, okay, you all worship Krishna, you all claim you all are the Hare Krishnas, you all worship Krishna, but why do you all bash up the demigods? Why do you all condemn demigod worship so much? And when we explain to them, based on all these verses which Krishna himself has explained to Uddhava, or based on the Bhagavad Gita which Krishna has spoken to Arjuna, that what is the nature of demigod worship and what is the position of Krishna, then they put forth so many arguments. Now, we'll go through some of the arguments which usually an average Indian puts forth, because Westerners are thankfully free of this. They don't know about demigods, and when a Westerner goes to India, for him it is like idol worship. What are these idols of various forms and shapes and with an elephant head and all, you know, they are really bewildered. But thankfully they are out of all this. But Indians are so much into demigod worship. So an average Indian puts forth so many arguments, especially when we preach to them about the supremacy of the Lord. So one of the gentlest arguments which the demigod worshippers put up is that, are the demigods not friends of Krishna? Then why do you all say we should not worship demigods? Is it that Krishna is against these demigods, or is it that Krishna is the enemy of the demigods? So that is one argument which demigod worshippers put up. The second argument is that, okay, we understand that, you know, the demigods may not be as powerful as Krishna, but aren't they powerful? Then why should we not worship them? They are also very powerful, like Indra supplies rain and Varuna supplies water, Vayu supplies wind. So they are also all very powerful. Understand that you all say Krishna is the supremely powerful Lord, but then why not worship the demigods if they are also powerful? Then the third argument which usually they put up is that in our house, You know, this is the family tradition argument which usually comes up when we preach to Indians. That in our house, this particular demigod or that particular demigod has been worshipped for the last 250 or 300 years. It's a family tradition for us. And you're asking me to give it up? So they are really shocked when we tell them, no, worship only Krishna, you should not worship demigods, or you're worshipping demigods in the wrong motive. So it is a very rare Indian house we will find where there is only one particular demigod that to be in worship. We will find that all sorts of demigods are there on the altars of an average Indian house who is typically in the Karmakanda, following the Karmakanda section of the Vedas. There will be so many demigods. In fact, my husband used to say, it's like, you know, the local Bombay train, third class compartment, some demigod is hanging from here, some photo is hanging from there, all are crowded into a small altar space. So, and if we ask them that, you know, okay, y'all are demigod worshippers, but then why not one? Why so many are there? And they'll have their reasons for it. They will say, oh, this demigod, this murti we got in this marriage gift, or that murti we got as a marriage gift, or when we went on a pilgrimage, we went to this and this place, so we buy, you know, usually people like to buy mementos. Similarly, they buy demigod murtis and come when they go to pilgrimages. Or if somebody else went to a pilgrimage, they will give them a gift. In our house it is there in Bombay. Somebody goes on pilgrimage, they will bring one Annapurneshwari, they will bring one Sai Baba, and all those deities come on our altar. So this is how the whole altar gets crowded with so many demigods, and people say it's a family tradition to worship them. And the fourth one, which is the most powerful one, and which they say is based on Vedas, is based on the shloka, Sarva Deva Namaskara Keshavam Prati Gacchati. Now this is from the Sandhya Vandanam, which is usually done by the Mayavadis. It's a Vedic mantra. And it means that Sarva Deva Namaskara, that any demigod that you worship, Keshavam Prati Gacchati, it goes towards Keshava only. So when it's going like that, then why are you condemning the worship of demigods? When this shloka is saying that, you know, everything is going to Keshava, then let us continue our demigod worship peacefully. But Srila Prabhupada explains, in the 11th canto, Srila Prabhupada also quotes this, and he explains that, okay, this mantra has been mentioned in part of Sandhya Vandanam prayers. But the mood of worshipping the demigod is very important. That, okay, it says that you worship all the demigods and the worship goes towards Krishna. But the mood is lost by most of the demigod worshippers in the average Indian household that we see. The mood is always that of exploitation. Now, for example, if someone comes to my house, let's say Kundalata Mataji comes to my house and she gives me a gift, that, oh, I got you this gift. And I say, thank you so much, sit Mataji, what else? And you know, she talks for 2-3 minutes and then she comes to the point. She knows that, let's say I'm, you know, an influential person in some organization. And she says that my brother is jobless, can you please get him a job? Or I don't have so and so facility, can you please give me this facility? So demigod worship is like that. It's like a barter system. You go and give something through your worship, either you offer something or you do some homam for that demigod, but immediately that expectation is there, that you please satisfy my desire. Now you do this for me. So Prabhupada says that the mood of worshipping demigod is totally wrong in India. And the fifth argument which average demigod worshippers give is that if we don't worship the demigods, then don't you think we are disrespecting them? And they say that Krishna will not be happy if we don't worship or we don't respect the demigods. So this is one more argument which they put up for continuing their demigod worship, and it gives, you know, it flutters people's hearts when they think that, oh, these people are disrespecting the demigods, they are condemning demigod worship, and how Krishna will be happy, their own Krishna will be unhappy because they are not worshipping the demigods. Then next argument which people put up is based on the Puranas. We know that there are so many Puranas. In the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, it's mentioned that Vedavyas wrote so many Vedas and he wrote so many Puranas for people in different modes. And there are different Puranas like Ganesha Puran or Shiva Puran or Devi Puran which claim that that particular person is the Supreme Lord. Like Ganesha Puran claims that Ganesha is supreme, Shiva Puran claims that Lord Shiva is supreme. Or if you go through Devi Puran, it claims that Devi is supreme. So they argue that similarly Srimad Bhagavatam claims Krishna is supreme. So okay, he is also one of the candidates. Like all the other Puranas are claiming Ganesh, Shiva or Devi supreme. Similarly, Krishna is also supreme. So it's okay, you continue Krishna, I will continue my demigod. This is another argument which they give. So they say, okay, he is one of the candidates, it's okay, he is equal to all the demigods. And the next argument is, after you tell them that no, Krishna's Bhagavatam is the Samam Bonam, it's the ripened fruit of all Vedas. So whatever is given in the Srimad Bhagavatam is actually the Samam Bonam of all the Vedas. And that is why Krishna is supreme, if Bhagavatam is claiming like that. Then they will say, okay, I understand that Krishna is supreme. And then they give this next argument. But they don't care. They say that, no, this particular demigod, when I worship him, he helped me in so and so thing. For example, if someone was childless, they didn't have a child for many years, and some sadhu or some, you know, fake person recommends that, okay, you go and worship this demigod and you'll get a child. And let's say they got a child. Then they say, no, this demigod helped me to get a child. Or that demigod helped me to get a job. I was jobless for such a long time. And that demigod helped me. So they say that then it is a matter of civil life to show gratitude to these demigods. And here you all are talking about spiritual life. Then isn't it in spiritual life, don't you all show gratitude? Is it not a matter of etiquette to show gratitude to someone who has helped? So this is one more thing which they keep claiming. But we see that, you know, is their form of showing gratitude, especially in Bombay, since I'm from Bombay, I can tell about Bombay. There are these big Ganesh festivals which they celebrate during Lord Ganesha's time. I think it comes in something like September or something. And how do they show their gratitude to Lord Ganesha? By putting them in the sea. At the end of every Ganesha festival, there is something called as Ganesh Visarjan, and all the idols are put in the sea. So someone asked, is this the way you'll show your gratitude towards these deities? So we see, to summarize, we see the arguments which demigod worshippers give up. One is based on tradition, some arguments are based on disrespect, some arguments are based on a matter of gratitude, some arguments are based on Vedic mantras like Sarvadeva Namaskara. So we'll tackle two issues in respect to these arguments which people give. And first issue is there a necessity of demigods? If we say that there is one God and he is all powerful, then why do we have so many demigods? But the fact is that someone's power or someone's supremacy is shown by the way he effortlessly gets things done. And that is the necessity of demigods. Now if we take the example of a king, the king is never alone. If you say that so and so king is coming, or let's say in the modern world we take the example of a prime minister. Even if there is news that a prime minister of a small country is coming, is it that prime minister will fly alone in economy class or business class along with us in Singapore Airlines or something? No, he will have a special chartered plane, and there will be another plane in which his whole retinue will come. All his cabinet ministers or his security guards, so many people will come with the prime minister. What to speak of a big powerful prime minister of some big country when he visits another country? Then there will be a much more bigger retinue or a much more bigger cabinet which will follow him. And in previously in India also, if we used to see managers, a manager's power or his position in the organization was judged by how many number of telephones he has on his desk. And this was claimed so much through television also, like when we used to watch movies and all, they will show some managers in the olden days and they will see he is holding one telephone here, and that shows his power. Just as a king or prime minister's power is shown by how many people are there, manager's power used to be shown by how many telephones are there on his desk. So therefore Krishna also doesn't mean Krishna alone. Krishna also means Krishna and all his cabinet ministers. And these cabinet ministers are the demigods. We take the example of a government also. Government doesn't mean just the prime minister alone or just the president alone. There will be so many cabinet ministers, so many department heads will be there. But for people it is a matter of taste. For them it's a matter of personal choice that, okay, choose the demigod which works for you and worship him. This demigod works for you, okay, you choose him and you worship him. So for people it is like that. For example, when people go on pilgrimage also, they go to various places on pilgrimage, and then ultimately in one pilgrimage site, let's say their business increased by going to that particular pilgrimage site. Then they say that no, next year I'll go to that pilgrimage site only because my business went up. And Srila Prabhupada says that for conditioned souls, it is very tricky. Like in the 11th canto he explained, as we previously mentioned, that it is the mood of worshipping demigods which is the most important. And Prabhupada says, conditioned souls, it is extremely tricky. They are not honest with themselves. They will say, no, we are worshipping the demigod because we want to please him and all. But the thing is, they are always doing business with these demigods. And to say that Prabhupada, establish that Prabhupada gives the story of a Bengali man. So this Bengali man, Prabhupada quotes this often in his lectures, that Bengali man, he once went and worshipped goddess Kali. And he worshipped her for because he wanted some more wealth and his business to increase. And by worshipping Kali, his business actually increased. He got so much wealth. And he says to Kali, he had said to Kali when he started worshipping Kali, that if my business increases or if I get so and so much wealth, I will give you 2 goats in sacrifice. That was his promise to goddess Kali. So as soon as he got the wealth, promise was forgotten. He said that, oh, now so much wealth has come, so I should invest it very wisely. Kali has mercifully given me wealth. Let me invest it nicely. Let me grow this business. Let me grow that business. Now since I have wealth, I can get married. Let me have children. So years just started passing. Then one day goddess Kali came in his dream. And she said, hey, you had promised me you are going to give me 2 goats. Where are my 2 goats gone? So this man was a bit taken aback and he says that, oh yeah, I had promised you, but no, don't think goddess Kali, I had forgotten my promise to you. It's just that I got caught up, you gave me so much wealth, now I should invest it wisely. I don't want to squander your waste the money which you gave me. So that is why I got caught up in all this business, investing the wealth nicely and all. But definitely I'll give you, next Amavasya I'll bring those 2 goats. But again it was forgotten, next Amavasya came and went and he never did. The sacrifice of 2 goats to Kali. So again after a few weeks Kali came in his dream. And this time Kali was a bit angry. She came with her trident. And she asked this man, hey, where are my 2 goats? You promised that last Amavasya you will give my 2 goats. What happened? So he says that, oh, sorry goddess Kali, I forgot because so and so was there. This happened, that happened. This new business was growing. So many excuses. And he said that it is so difficult, now you know I've moved to a bigger town, here there are not so many goats, I have to go in search of a goat, so will 2 rats do, he says. So goddess Kali was really surprised that I gave this man so much wealth and look at his attitude. But she wanted to know, okay, let me see how, to what extent this man can go. So she says that, okay, 2 rats will do, when will you sacrifice them? He said, next Amavasya I will bring and sacrifice them. Again the next Amavasya is gone, again goddess Kali has to come in his dream and this time she was really angry, she almost put her trident on him and she says that you said you will give me 2 rats, where are they, you didn't offer them to me. So again so many excuses and he says for catching the rat I'll have to enter a gutter, it's very difficult to catch rats also, so will something else do? So then goddess Kali was really shocked that he is not ready to offer me 2 rats also, let me see what he wants to offer me. So she says, okay, what do you want to offer then? And he says that, will 2 mosquitoes do? So she says that, okay, at least give me some mosquitoes. Do some sacrifice for me since I gave you so much wealth. So look at this man's cheekiness. He says that so many, in this town, so many mosquitoes are there. So many are hovering around you also. Why don't you only catch 2 of them and put them in your mouth? So Prabhupada says that this is not the story of just this man. Everyone, all demigod worshippers are almost like this. So Prabhupada says that demigod worshippers are usually cheaters. They are just trying to cheat themselves and they are also trying to cheat the demigod that they are worshipping. So then the second thing is, and also Srila Prabhupada calls these, Prabhupada explains, but the true position of the demigods, like we explained the king's example or the prime minister's example, is that they are the cabinet ministers of Lord Krishna. They are the department heads, like there is a prime minister or president and then there are so many departments or so many portfolios for which there are heads required to execute, successfully run and execute those portfolios. Similarly, the demigods are empowered representatives of Lord Krishna and they are empowered to run the affairs of this cosmic manifestation. Now, second issue which we'll handle is then why scriptures say so many confusing notions? Many times demigod worshippers say that okay, if y'all are claiming that Krishna is supreme, then why don't all the scriptures say that okay, Krishna is the only God, take it or leave it, Hare Krishna. He is the only God, there is no other God, there is no other demigod, no, nothing is there, he is the only God. But Krishna is very merciful and that is why it is not claimed in all the scriptures that Krishna is only God. So because these demigod worshippers keep quoting the Vedas, we see that we, as devotees, we know that the aim of the Vedas. The aim of the Vedas is not to force someone or it is not to gain popularity. They don't want to force someone that Krishna is supreme, you take it or leave it and you worship him. In fact, Bhagavad Gita says, Ichha Dvesha Samudbhavah. We know that shloka from the Bhagavad Gita. So, Ichha, all of us, like people will say that why have we come here or what do the Vedas claim? So, Vedas say that all of us are in this material world to satisfy our senses because we had Ichha or we had the desire to satisfy our senses. And the opposite of sense gratification is devotional service. Because in devotional service, in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, it mentions that devotional service to the Supreme Lord is ahaituki and apratrihata. Ahaituki means it is unmotivated. There is no motivation at all in devotional service to Krishna. And apratrihata, it goes on uninterrupted. Not that one day one demigod was worshipped, he didn't satisfy, then the other way somebody else was worshipped. Because that demigod didn't satisfy, give it up. No, devotional service to Krishna is unmotivated. There is no desire for sense gratification. There is no expectation that I want this and this from you or anything like that. And it is uninterrupted. It continuously goes on towards Lord Krishna. So this is diametrically opposite to sense gratification, which usually demigod worshippers want. And that is why they go to the demigods to worship them. And therefore, it is very difficult for jivas who are conditioned jivas, whose only aim in life is sense gratification and whose only aim in life is to enjoy. If they are told that no, you all are not the enjoyers, Krishna is the supreme enjoyer, it is extremely difficult for them to give up that concept that I should not enjoy and only the Lord should enjoy. And in this connection, there is a very nice analogy which Devamrit Maharaj has given in one of his lectures. He says that in the West, and nowadays it's happening in India also, that boys like to date girls or girls like to date boys. They like to spend time over the weekends and, you know, flirting around or going out and all that. So one particular boy wanted to date a girl, but he didn't know that girl. And I know this usually happens in colleges. So there was some other boy who knew that girl. So this boy goes to that other boy and he pleads to him that, can you please introduce me to this girl? I want to start dating her. I want to start taking her out and all that. And he says, please do this much work for me. But after some time, that boy promises, yes, yes, I'll do. But after some time, he sees that boy has himself started dating that girl. And he says, hey, I told you about that girl and I wanted to date her. What is this going on? How come she became your girlfriend? And he says that, no, now she's my girlfriend. She was never yours. I knew her. I was dating her. All these reasons are given. So similarly, Maharaj explains that this material nature or material prakriti, which we call, is like a beautiful girl. Now, if you want to enjoy this prakriti or this beautiful girl, and you go to the demigods will say, okay, you want to enjoy this nature, this material nature, no problem. I will make you, you know, connect you to that material nature. I will give you all those enjoyments. If you want wealth, you want power, you want fame, no problem. I will give it to you. But with the same desire, if you go to Krishna and you say that I want to enjoy material nature, then Krishna is like that boy who started, you know, dating the girl himself. Krishna says that no, this material nature is not for your enjoyment. She is mine. And it is said in the Bhagavad Gita also. Krishna says, Maya Dhyakshena Prakriti, and also Mama Maya Duratyaya. Mama Maya. This is my Maya, or it is my material nature. Or Maya Dhyakshena. She is working under my direction. So Krishna is the game spoiler. He doesn't allow you to enjoy. He doesn't allow you to satisfy your senses. But demigods ask, okay, what you want? You wanted wealth, I'll give you wealth. I'll give you power. So they try to promote your relationship with that girl and they try to give you. But Krishna doesn't allow that. But when these demigod worshippers also worship the demigods, they don't even care that where all these things are coming from. Are the demigods the ultimate suppliers of all these benedictions? Or are they coming from someone somewhere else? They don't care to find out about the source. But Krishna is very merciful and therefore he has given these Vedas. So in the Vedas there is demigod worship recommended. And there are Vedas for people in the mode of goodness, there are Vedas for people in mode of passion, for people in mode of ignorance. And there are different types of worship of different demigods which is recommended in the Vedas. And because Krishna is merciful, he has given it like that. Because by worshipping these different demigods through the Vedas will gradually elevate one's faith and will gradually elevate one in their religiosity and take them from one level to the next. And also it is said that at least worshipping the demigods and acknowledging that you need to go somewhere to get something, you need to go to a higher authority, and acknowledging that there is a higher authority who is supplying all this is much better than not worshipping anyone at all. And there is a pastime which I read in the Leelamrita. Srila Prabhupada was, during the first visit of Prabhupada to India with his disciple, he was traveling with Achyutananda Swami. And I think they were going through Calcutta. And that time, it was the time of Kali Puja, and Calcutta literally closes down, I've heard, during Kali Puja festival. So Achyutananda Swami was saying that because there was so much of, you know, music, and like Kali Puja is just a side thing, but so many Bollywood songs keep playing and something else is only happening over there. So Achyutananda Swami was very bewildered because he was seeing all this for the first time. So he asked Prabhupada that, Prabhupada, is this demigod worship better or not worshipping the demigods better, or Christianity is better? He asked Prabhupada, and Srila Prabhupada replied that no, demigod worship is better, or it is higher, because it has been mentioned in the Vedas and it will gradually elevate people to the next level, to worshipping Krishna. So people don't care about the source of rain or heat, like especially people who are not worshipping the demigods. They don't care where is rain coming from. If you ask the scientists, how should we get rain when, you know, there was a drought going on in Australia? And they are trying to discover so many new technological things by which rain can come, without realizing that rain is supplied by a higher personality, and if you worship that personality, then rains will come. He'll be pleased and rains will come. Their attitude is similar to modern day children. If you ask a city child, where does milk come from? He will say coals or Safeway. Or where does water come from? He will say taps. He is not aware that milk is actually coming. There is a different source for the milk and water which is coming in my house. So it is better. These demigod worshippers are better, Prabhupada says, because they at least think about the source. For example, if someone wants wealth, he knows the source of wealth is Lakshmi. So he goes to Lakshmi and he prays to her that, oh Lakshmi, please give me so and so wealth. He is aware that there is a process I should follow. I should go to a higher authority. He is at least showing this, respect and honor for that higher authority. Or if a young man wants a beautiful wife, or a young woman wants a handsome husband, then they know they should go to Uma or Parvati, or they should go to Lord Shiva, and they will get their desired spouse, like a desired husband or wife. So Vedas are gradually boosting one's faith, and finally they bring one to the Samam Bonam, which is the Srimad Bhagavatam, in which then they come face to face with the reality that it is Lord Krishna who is the Supreme Lord. And Srila Prabhupada explains that in Bhagavad Gita, Yogi Nam Api Sarvesham Mad Gate Nantaratmana. And in that shloka, Prabhupada says that Bhajate Yo Mam. He uses the word Bhajate. And in that purport, Srila Prabhupada very nicely explains the essence of demigod worship. So for that, he explains the meaning of the word bhaja. Now, what does the word bhaja mean? When we say bhaja or bhajan to someone, people say, oh, bhajan means to sing. But actually, the word bhajan doesn't mean to sing. The word means to express your sentiment. For example, if we say Rupa Goswami's bhajan kutir, that was Rupa Goswami's bhajan kutir, then it doesn't mean all day he used to do bhajans over there. It was his sole place of worship or prayer, where he used to express his sentiments for the Lord. So the meaning of this Sanskrit word bhaja is service with love and faith. That is the meaning of the word bhaja. And it is the opposite of the word worship. Now, as we read over here, upasata, in this shloka we read upasata. Upasata means they worship. So worship, the word worship or upasana means to honor someone, or to glorify someone who is more powerful, or to adore someone who is more powerful. And this is the demigod worship. This is what is demigod worship, that their people are adoring or glorifying or honoring someone who is more powerful than them. And in the same purport, Srila Prabhupada explains that if we don't worship the demigod, we are discourteous. Saujanya means courteousness, and if we don't worship the demigods, we are discourteous. But Prabhupada explains, if you don't worship Krishna, then you are doomed or you are condemned. So we saw that there were two issues, why demigods are necessary, and we saw that demigods are empowered representatives of Krishna and they are required to run the affairs of the material world. And the second thing was that the Vedas are actually promoting it. And the Vedas are promoting it because they want to gradually elevate one's faith and then finally bring them to the Samam Bonam, which is Srimad Bhagavatam, wherein they will be told that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So in Krishna Bhakti, whenever one worships Krishna in the Bhagavatam, which is the Samambonam, it is mentioned that Krishna worship is called as Bhagavat Dharma. But the duty to worship the demigods or the dharma to worship the demigods is actually cheating religion. Like we saw Prabhupada established with the Bengali man story, that people are just trying to cheat when they are worshipping the demigods. And in the first few verses of Bhagavatam itself, in the first chapter of the first canto, the Bhagavatam rejects this worship or any religion which is not for worshipping Krishna, which is not Bhagavad Dharma. It is rejected by the Srimad Bhagavatam as Kaitava Dharma or cheating religion. So one reporter asked Srila Prabhupada that, okay, you are saying there are so many demigods and all that, but have you ever seen the demigods or have you ever interacted with them? And Srila Prabhupada replied to that reporter that when I know directly the emperor, why should I try to know the security guards or the waiters? And it is similar to going, for example, if we are invited to a party by a big king or someone, and we are sitting down and the waiters are bringing food and drink and all that, and we start worshipping the waiters. Oh, you are my annadata, you gave me this food, thank you so much. We start worshipping the waiters. So that is what is demigod worship. They are supplying something on behalf of the king or on behalf of the emperor. But the demigod worshippers start worshipping them, thinking they are their supplier. And so if we don't show respect, Prabhupada explains that if you don't show respect to the waiters, then you are not a gentleman, obviously. That if someone is giving and you know the waiter is bringing something and you kick him or something like that, then you are not a gentleman. That is discourteousness. But if you don't worship or you don't show respect to the emperor or the king who has actually organized that party and because of whom you are eating and drinking in that party, then you are actually a Narapashu. In the sixth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, there is one more section which talks about demigod worship. And in that, Prabhupada explains that such people are called as Narapashu, who reject the supremacy or the authority of the emperor who is supplying everything to them. And also in that same section of Srimad Bhagavatam in the sixth canto, it is stated that people who don't worship the demigod or people who worship the demigod rather, the results which they get are all temporary. Because when this material world gets annihilated, then even the demigods get annihilated when the material world is annihilated, and all their results are also lost. Whatever results you obtain, everything is lost by worshipping demigods. None of the results stay with you. Just like the nobility of a king vanishes as soon as a king is not in power, or as soon as a government is not in power, then all the cabinet ministers, everyone, that whole government loses their power. Nobody's power is left. So similarly, when the material world is finished, all the demigods are finished and their powers are also finished, and all the benedictions they gave you are also finished because they were temporary. So this is the position of the demigods. Bhagavad Gita also explains that they are in power till Krishna has propped them up or till Krishna is empowering them. In fact, Krishna mentions in the Bhagavad Gita that all this worship which you are doing to the demigod and all the benedictions which the demigods are giving you. He says, Mai eva ihi tan hitan. All the benedictions which the demigods are giving you are actually coming from me. And even the faith to worship the demigods is given by me or is aroused by me in your hearts. So this is the position of Krishna with respect to the demigods. Now another argument weighs when we tell people this, that all the benedictions which the demigods give are actually coming from Krishna. Then another argument which people put up is that, okay, if Krishna is only giving all these benedictions to the demigods, and then what is the harm in worshipping the demigods? And again, that they quote that shloka, Sarva Deva Namaskara Keshavam Prati Gachati, that, you know, then what is the harm in worshipping demigods as it is Krishna is supplying, and if we worship all the demigods, everything is going to Keshava only, then what is the harm in worshipping the demigods? And to refute this, Srila Prabhupada gives the example of the nine gates of the body. Now we are also studying that pastime in our Bhakti Vaibhav class of King Puranjana. So that whole pastime is an allegory. And Prabhupada explains that there are nine gates in the body, but if you want to nourish the body, then you have to put food into the stomach only through the mouth. That is the only authorized gate through which you can put the food in the stomach. If I try to put the food through ear, first of all, the body will not get nourished, but I may die because some infection will come if I put some food in my eye. So the only authorized way is putting food through the mouth. And we don't have a choice in that matter. People keep saying that I have a choice, I will worship whomever I want. But Prabhupada says there is no choice. The only authorized way is worship Krishna, that is the mouth, to nourish the whole body. Now, one more example which we can take is of electricity in this matter. We get electricity in our house and we have to pay for this electricity which we get in our house. But do we pay the engineer or the person who comes to fix electricity? Let's say we constructed a new house and there is someone who came to fix up the electricity in our house. And we say, oh, you are only the supplier of electricity in my house. Here, I'll pay you. You take this money and all. No. That engineer is just working on behalf of the company he represents. He is also paid by that company. Similarly, when we go to some company where, you know, let's say we have to pay our bills or something, we go to Australia Post. So the clerk who's behind the counter, he's just accepting that payment on behalf of that company. So let's say we have to pay bills to Origin or whatever. Then he's accepting that payment. He is not putting it in his pocket. So same is the thing of the demigods. That we don't pay the engineer. We don't think that he is the source or he is supplying everything to me and that is why I should pay everything to this demigod only. So similarly, demigods also, like the clerks accept worship on behalf of the company. Similarly, demigods also accept worship on behalf of Krishna. And most of the honest demigods, they give that worship which you have given to them, they pass it on to Krishna, knowing that Krishna is the boss. Most of them do that, but sometimes they do forget, and we know the pastime of Indra from the Krishna book, how he forgot that everything is coming from Krishna. He started accepting the worship of all the Brajadasis, and then Krishna had to teach him a lesson. So it's similar to an organization. If there is a closely guarded organization, then not everyone is aware of who is the top boss. There is a top boss, and if someone asks that where is that top boss, we don't see him. Oh, he is enjoying golf. He is enjoying a vacation and he is playing golf. But his intelligence is in employing so many people who are working for him. He himself is not working. He is just enjoying. The top boss is always enjoying. And in this connection, Srila Prabhupada tells the story of a German philosopher. There was once a German philosopher who was in search of who is the Supreme Lord, and he comes to India to find that out because he knew that is the land of Vedic culture. So he starts traveling through the length and breadth of India in search of the Supreme Lord or the one true Supreme Lord. And he goes to so many demigod temples, but he's not satisfied. He keeps visiting, till ultimately he comes to Vrindavan. And in Vrindavan, when he sees the deity of Krishna, he visits the temple of Krishna, then he says that, yes, now I have found that true Supreme Lord. And when someone asked him why, he said that because all the other temples which I visited, each and every demigod over there was engaged in doing some activity. Somebody was killing someone, somebody was writing something, everyone was engaged in doing some activity. But only Krishna, I can see, is enjoying. He's nicely playing flute and he's enjoying with his cowherd boys, he's enjoying with the gopis, or he's enjoying with his parents. So he's the only true supreme enjoyer, and that therefore he's the only true supreme lord. That is what the German philosopher claimed. Now Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says that all this hodgepodge of demigod worship which is there in India nowadays, is most of it is because of this Mayavadis. He said that Mayavadi is that sinful fruit of all this concocted philosophy which is there in India nowadays. Because it is the Mayavadis who claim that everything is one, you can worship whomever you want, it's your own choice, everything will go to him, them only. In fact, once Kaunteya Prabhu had come to our house in Japan when we had hosted a program, and he was saying that people say yato mat tato pat, all paths lead to Rome. So whatever worship you do, everything is one, everything will go to the same source. This is the contribution of Mayavadis to the already the Indian concoction which is going on. And this thing that all paths lead to Rome or yatoma tatopa doesn't even work in material life. For example, if I want to reach a desired destination, is it okay if I buy any ticket and I sit down in any train and I will reach my desired destination? No, that's not going to happen. If I want to go to a particular destination, I have to buy that required ticket which will take me there, or I have to sit in that particular train which will take me to that destination. But in spiritual life, we somehow assume that, you know, yato mat tato pat, everything, all worship will go to Krishna. So, and therefore to clear all these misconceptions, because all these concoctions are there, Mayavadis have created so many concoctions and people are so much steeped into demigod worship, nobody is aware who is supreme or where is the source of all these benedictions which I'm getting. Krishna therefore comes and claims that I am the source of all demigods. Like he says, Aham Sarvasya Prabhavo in the Bhagavad Gita. That I am the source or Bhoktaram Yajna Tapasam. By everything that you do, I am the ultimate enjoyer or ultimate benedictor. I am the Bhoktaram. It is to me that all the sacrifices, the results of all sacrifices come to me. So Krishna, out of his mercy, is claiming that. Sometimes people say, how Krishna is, he is so proud God. How can he say, I am the source of everything? But it is his mercy to clear up all these misconceptions that Krishna is claiming like that. And Bhagavad Gita says that people, when even though Krishna claims like that, still people don't believe or still people don't understand. And they still continue their demigod worship. And therefore the Bhagavad Gita says that demigod worshippers, the intelligence of people who worship the demigods is lost. They are called as Ritagyana. Ritagyana means their intelligence is lost because they are worshipping the demigods. And in this connection we know the pastime of Ravana. Now Ravana was a very ardent worshipper of Lord Shiva. He used to cut off his heads, in fact. He had 10 heads, so he could afford to cut off some of his heads, and he used to offer them to Lord Shiva in sacrifice. And he kept cutting till the time Shiva appeared. And he said, okay, stop it. What do you want? And what did Ravana want? He just wanted more and more power. So Lord Shiva gave him the power and he, you know, started misusing that power, and he got so much wealth, so much opulence, so much power. So if somebody who will read about Ravana actually will say that, oh, he was a go-getter. Whatever eyes or whatever goal he set in, he set his eyes on a particular goal, he used to get it. Now we see in the modern day, especially in businesses and in organizations, there are so many seminars which happen, go for your goal or goal setting seminars, how to achieve your desired goal. So we see Ravana was an ideal example of this actually. Whatever he set his eyes on, he used to achieve it. Somehow or the other he used to achieve it. Then how you are saying that his intelligence was lost? Prabhupada explains that his intelligence was lost because he did not recognize the supremacy of all the powers which he was getting. He did not recognize what is the source of all these powers. And he did not recognize that it is Lord Ram. And okay, he did not recognize that, but even when Lord Ram came in front of him and he saw that he is so powerful, all his Ravana's brothers, Ravana's sons, everybody was being killed by Ram. But still, he did not bow down and surrender to Lord Ram, saying that, okay, now I have understood that you are the supreme. I was till now misled, but now I have understood you are the source of all my power. No, he didn't do that. And that is why these demigod worshippers are called as Ritagyana. So it's not only Ravana. Any average Indian you take who is demigod worshipper, everybody is like this. All of them take so much effort in worshipping the demigods, in getting some temporary results. But ultimately it leads to their ruination. Like Ravana was ultimately ruined. His destruction was happened at the hands of Lord Ram. So similarly, all demigod worshippers we see, they are worshipping demigods with so much effort, they do sacrifices. But ultimately it all results in ruination. And this is exactly the opposite of bhakti yogis or people who worship Krishna. They start with such small efforts or very meager efforts, or they start with so many imperfections. But they achieve the highest success, or they achieve the ultimate goal of the human form of life. And that is a full life, an eternal life full of bliss and knowledge. If you ask the demigod worshippers, they also want that. They also want happiness by worshipping the demigods. They want their miseries to go away. They want some happiness. And they want that happiness to last forever or to increase if possible. But somehow they are connected to the wrong place to get that eternal happiness. But devotees, even though they put little efforts in the beginning and even though they start with imperfections, their goal is ultimately perfect because they are worshipping the perfect source of all the demigods. And when the demigod worshippers are going to demigods, it is like actually they are trying to just scratch the itch. Prabhupada always says that the sense gratification is like an itch we get. Now in college, for example, when we used to get some itch in some hard to reach place, and we tell a friend that, can you scratch that itch for me? And that friend says, yeah, gladly, that is what friends are for. And he keeps scratching and scratching and scratching that itch till it becomes black and blue. And there is infection which has spread throughout your body, and you say that, what kind of friend is this? And then you go with the same itch to a skin specialist, let's say. And you tell the skin specialist, can you scratch this itch? I'm getting so much of scratching sensation, it's a big this thing. And the skin specialist says, no, I'm not going to scratch it. Why? You are not my friend, you are not acting in a friendly way, people will claim. But the skin specialist will say that, no, I'll give you an ointment. You apply it to that itch and that itch will go away gradually. So the skin doctor is actually Lord Krishna. You go with some sense gratification, even with some sense gratification to him, but he will purify the sense gratification. He will not allow it to get satisfied if it is not good or it is not conducive for your devotional service. But the demigods, they will say that, you know, okay, you come, I'll give you, I'll scratch that itch. You want wealth itch is there, okay, I'll give you. Or power itch is there, I'll give you. So every demigod is empowered to give one particular thing. One demigod can give knowledge, some other demigod can give Lakshmi, like money, some other demigod can give power, some other demigod can give a very beautiful husband or wife. So every demigod we get one thing. So someone may claim that why worship the source? I'll worship all the demigods and get all the things which I need for my life. But there are 33 crores devis and devatas. How many demigods will you worship in one day? For example, if you sit in your puja room and even start worshipping, I don't think one can ever come out of their puja room if they start worshipping all these 33 crores devis and devatas. And by the time you reach the last one who is there in your puja room, the first one would have already forgotten you also. It would have taken such a long time. So this is the position of demigod worshippers. They are just trying to satisfy these temporary itch they are getting and they are going to different demigods for different itches that they are having. But we know that the Bhagavatam says, Yatha taror moola nischena tripayanti taskan bhujo pashakha. So satisfy the root. Yatha taror moola. Moola means the root. You water the root or you satisfy the root and automatically all the branches, all the leaves, all the fruits, all the flowers, all the twigs, everything in that tree will get nourishment. There is no need to separately satisfy them. There is no need to separately water them. Similarly, it is said, pranopaharacha yatendriyena. Pranopaharat means if you want to nourish your body or if you want to give pran to your body. So the nourishment to the body is obtained only by feeding the stomach through the mouth, which is the authorized source of feeding the stomach. And automatically all other parts of the body will be satisfied. We don't need to work, I want to create strong biceps. Then I don't cut open and put some food over there. Now I'm going to get strong biceps. Or I want strong legs, so I don't cut open my leg and put some food over there. No. We just put food inside our stomach through the mouth and automatically the whole body is nourished. And similarly, tasyaiva arhanam achyuta ijya. Tasyaiva means similarly. Arhanam. Arhanam means one who is worthy of worship. And this word is used quite a lot in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Arhanam. Achyuta ijya. Achyuta means Lord Krishna. So anyone, Bhagavatam says, anyone who is worthy of getting any worship, arhanam, anyone who is worthy of getting our worship is worshipped by worshipping Achyuta or Keshava, who is the source of all the demigods or who is the root, like we read, Yatha taror moola nischanena, who is the root of this whole cosmic manifestation. And that is why we worship Krishna alone and we don't worship all the demigods like Krishna himself is establishing in this verse. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So we'll stop over here. Thank you very much. Are there any comments or corrections? Any questions? Grantha Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki. Shara.